Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand, if you will. Bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another beautiful day. Lord, we thank you for the rest. Lord, we thank you for all the beautiful things, Lord, you created for us to enjoy. And Lord, we thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to gather in your little place you provided for us. Lord, it's just so sweet, Lord, to trust in you. Lord, to believe your word. Lord, and the desire to go out and live it. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, this night. And we ask you to have your way in this service. Everything that's said and done be for your glory and your honor. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Couldn't help but think of that song, page 135, How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see and when I then I shall bow. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And there proclaim, oh, yes, my God, how great thou art. Hallelujah. Then sings my soul. Same book. With a grateful heart, I thank him. Amen. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks. Hallelujah. Amen. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son. Give thanks. So thankful. Amen. Where would we be, though, saints? Amen. Let the weak say, I am strong. Hallelujah. Been there. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Been there. Didn't have the word I thought I did, you know? So thankful for what he's given us in this hour. Amen. Page 612 in our same book. Love this little song. Can't help but sing it again. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to my spirit heal. thankful for His sweet Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you,
stay right here with us, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise His name. Brother Paul, would you mind taking up the offering? Of course, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good. Amen. I love Him so. Request. Special this evening? Amen. Sister, I've asked you to come.
Lord, I'm willing to go. For I felt a cold afar from your presence touch my soul. It's burning out my own ambition.
So stand. We ask our brother to come. Let's sing that little chorus. Make me more like thee. Make me more like thee.
Truly is the desire of our heart this evening to be more like you in everything we do and say. Lord, that our lives would be written epistles read of all men, and Lord, that our works would show forth that you're living on the control seat of our hearts. And Lord, we just have come tonight humbly asking you to speak to us the way of your word. And Lord, just praying these few words will strengthen someone, Lord, encourage someone, maybe cause someone to press a little more. Lord, keep us pushing for the goal that you have set before us. And Lord, we just humbly ask your blessings upon your word and that bless our hearts to the hearing. And Lord, we'll see that you receive all of the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Oh, he's so wonderful. Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, we can turn our Bibles over to 1 Corinthians. We'll read a verse of Scripture and you can be seated. Just so thankful for the opportunity to be here this evening and still feeding on the precious word that we heard this morning and praying that that's growing in your heart. And I pray that tonight after just want to renew your mind to some things and praying that it'll stir you to see where we're standing even greater to go along with what our pastor has been bringing. But you know, as we stand here, we can want everything that there is laying here, but if without a true desire and God putting it in us to drive and strive for that, it never come to naught. But if you've got a push in your life and you feel that desire, and there's a higher height, thank God for the drive that's there burning. Amen. Here in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and we'll just read the, I believe it's the 24th verse. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. And truly we are running in a great race. And God has definitely called us to this purpose. And you know, as you look in the natural, anybody that enters into a race, there's normally a prize or a goal set forth at the end. And that's what they're striving for. Yes. And no one enters that race just to say, oh, I'll run the first quarter and then I'll just fall out. But you know, everybody that enters that has a great pressure in them that, hey, I'm going to enter and I'm going to win. Yes. But oh, sometimes maybe it starts to get a little hot and then maybe the hills get a little steeper and the road seems to be a little bit longer. And maybe some begin to waver. Oh, maybe it's just not worth it. But oh, there's a special people that's got to drive to finish this race that's been set before us. As our pastor mentioned it Thursday night, let us run with patience this race that's set before us. But let's turn over to put this in our hearts before I move on over to Ephesians 3 and the 20th verse, I believe it is. We'll just catch what Paul was saying. We'll just start at the 14th verse and just so it's all there, but and get up to the 20th. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his might by his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, and that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, through world without end. Amen. So I want you to think about that. As we are set forth in this race, God called us to this purpose. We feel the drawing that's brought us as far as we have. But I want you to keep in mind what Paul was saying right there as he was praying, that God would strengthen us and dwell in our hearts by faith, that being rooted and grounded in love, we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Think of all that's laying before us, the things our pastor's been bringing, and it has to be revealed. It's got to be a revelation. It's got to be something that strikes your heart so real and so in depth that nothing can deter you from it. And when we see that, but now unto him that is able to do exceedingly more than we can ask or think, just remember where your confidence lays. I can't run this race in myself. I can't win the prize in myself. But by his mercy and grace, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's what we must remember as we're pressing for this mark, this goal in life. It's what he has done for us and what he is doing in us. And by him giving us the desire that causes that hunger to grow greater. if we're not giving up, if we're not wanting to turn to the side and go this way or that way, it's only His mercy and grace that's holding us where we're standing. And don't ever think that in ourselves we are anything or we got a hold of this by ourselves. No, it's only His grace. If the eye salve is there, that we can truly see what He's done for us. And as I mentioned the other night, as we were thinking, as you look at what's going on around us today, and to look back at our examples of Israel coming out of Egypt. And there was just a few things I thought I would share with you. The prophet had said things we've heard many times. But what we see happening is a repeat. God set forth a great promise. And all many were hungry for that promise out of the gate. But so many fell off to the side. And I just, before we do that, I'd like to turn back to Numbers, the 13th chapter, if you want to turn with me. And we'll read this a little bit. Numbers 13. Just to put this fresh in our heart, and maybe it'll encourage us to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ and on the goal that He's promised. Amen. But think about it here. I'll just read this to kind of, does God ever change His mind about His word? Preached April 18th, 1965. Brother Branham he's speaking here. He said, when Israel left Egypt, they all believed in one prophet's message. They seen the signs of God by Moses, and everyone saw them, and they each one came out of Egypt and walked through the Red Sea and was baptized unto Moses. Each one saw the power of God striking when he sang in the Spirit, when Miriam beat the tambourine and run up and down the coast. Each one of them every night eat fresh heavenly manna out of the skies, and each of those drank from the spiritual rock that was smitten. And there was 2 million people left Egypt, but how many made the promised land? 2, 1 out of 1 million. Where are they all at? Jesus said they perished. Your fathers eat manna in the wilderness for the space of 30 years, and I say unto you, they are all dead. So think about that now as we start to look at the parallels just for a moment of where we're standing today. And realizing that God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand. But He sent Moses down there and vindicated Moses to the people well before they ever left Egypt, that God was in the camp. He proved to the mighty signs that He did in sending the plagues and all that happened, and the people saw it. And to think that they all saw what was happening, and knowing that no man could do that in himself. But they all took out after Moses, because he was going to take them to this land that flowed with milk and honey. God had promised them. And they all took out after Him, and we know the story. I'm not going to take time to go into all depth, but they come to the Red Sea, and God parted the waters, and they walked across on dry land. Amen. He was there with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and them to be able to look and see that and know. Can you imagine I just can't even imagine what it would have been like to stand there and be able to see that. And know, look at what God does around us every day, and we can see His majesty. But just to think, to see that pillar of fire standing there knowing, well, who could touch me? If God be for me, who can be against me? But that same pillar of fire is with us tonight. You just can't see it the way they were seeing it. Just think about it. The same God is sitting here with you and I tonight. He's in the building. He's not a myth. He's not a legend. But I feel Him and I know He's here. Amen. And that's the reality of knowing Him. And the things, as our pastor's been saying, the things that's unseen. They could see that pillar of fire. Mm-hmm. We can't see that pillar of fire in here right now. But I know it's here just the same. Amen. And oh, you couldn't convince me in any other way. Amen. Hallelujah. You can feel Him. He's real.
Amen.
But think of that. All they saw. And here they came up to that time of sending those 10 spies over into that land. They had came to what God had promised them. They came up against that promise. Of here was that land. And let's just pick up here in the Numbers, the 13th chapter, and just begin here at the 25th verse to catch this. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and Aaron. This is Numbers 13, 25. And they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran. To the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Just think of that. Now, they said that cluster of grapes, it took two men to carry a cluster of grapes back on a pole between them. Think of that. The land was there. Everything that they had been promised was laying there. When they went over to search it out, they saw it. These 10 men got a chance to see that. And then come back and say, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites, notice what they said. We saw that this eye right here, that's what they saw. Just remember that. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able to overcome it. Amen. Look at the two different perspectives. Yes, automatically, right out of the gate, just think of it for a moment and let it enrich your heart just a little bit. Uh-huh. 10 men went and saw the same thing. Yes. 10 men tasted of the land. Mm-hmm. And to come back, and 8 of them had an evil report. But 2 of them, and Caleb, he just stilled the people before Moses. So let's go up at once. We're more than able to possess this land. There was something different. His vision was focused to something else. And it says, but the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And when they saw the giants, which some of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so were we in their sight. Notice again what they were looking with. Nowhere did they mention God promised anything. Nowhere did it ever concern them what God said about anything. The only thing they could say is, this is what we saw. Oh no, we don't want no part of this. They were looking at what they could see. And all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And notice this. All of the children of Israel murmured against, did it say God? It doesn't say that. It says they murmured against Moses and Aaron, because they failed to realize who was leading Moses and Aaron to the place where they were standing. They failed to see that it was God, that it wasn't Moses that brought them out of Egypt. But their vision was so clouded, people want to always go right back to the man. And failed to miss God moving in the midst and seeing what God is doing. Moses was just the representative, but by murmuring against Moses, they were murmuring against God. Yes, so think about that. But they didn't see it that way. And as they say, they murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would to God that we would have died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? All the speaking Moses had done about the promise God had made him that they would go and worship in this land, forgotten in a drop of a hat. Everything that God had told him along the way, everything that God had done, forgotten. Forgot all about it. In a blink of an eye, all they could remember was it would just be better that we had died in the wilderness than come to this. But think of it, saints. Now bring it over to our day and think about where we're standing. Of all of the people that heard a prophet in this day speak, saw God move mightily in his life and perform many miracles and wonders and signs, and saw God move in mysterious ways, put the cloud in the sky, and to come down for the testimony, as we was talking outside today, the testimony of the brother that was actually at the filling station and saw when God was dealing with his heart on marriage and divorce and saw that cloud coming up and down over the mountain. Think about all that God did to vindicate this prophet. Yes. And the word that went forth. And many people fail to realize, as we get further into time, think about it. They came out behind Moses, the children of Israel came out behind Moses, following right in step, going exactly where he said. Yes. And it didn't take them long before they were off into all kinds of mischief. Off into this, off into that. Oh, we're over here, we're over there. And how many times Moses would back at them and father them and God help them and heal them and show them different ways. Look at all that was taking place. And here we stand today. The prophet has sent forth the word. And oh, he called us out, just like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, getting what they needed only. They didn't care about nothing else they were getting out of there. And people come out the prophet screaming out, get rid of the makeup. Quit cutting your hair. Get rid of your shorts. Clean up your homes. All that was taking place that he was screaming out. And people was separating, getting ready. Oh, we're going to run this race. Taking off all at one time. But then all of a sudden, slowly, wasn't long. Well, maybe we can have a little of this. And we can have a little of that. And now as we're standing right at the door to the coming of the Lord, look at the murmuring and the complaining against what God has delivered to us. God didn't mean that. God doesn't mean that. He doesn't mean this. And it's not like that. When God's word is laying plainly before us. And just think of that. That's what Caleb, his vision, and Joshua, they heard what God said to Moses, through Moses. And to them it struck a chord. As Brother Branham put it, he said this in the message. Amen. I'm sorry. I can't read my own writing sometimes. The great warrior Joshua, that's what this was, I'm sorry. But this was in paragraph 29, and this was preached sometime in the 50s. I didn't write the year on here. But he says, Joshua, after seeing that God could open the Red Sea, he said, that settles it with me. God opened up the Red Sea before they left Egypt, and the Lord, in the form of the big pillar of fire that was whirling over top of Moses, and them standing there, he said, I will send my angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place that which I have prepared. Beware of him, provoke him not, for my name is in him. Can you see it? Sure, it was Christ, the anointed, my name is in him. Joshua seen him there like a man with his sword drawn. And when we see him today as a sin offering for sin. And then the resurrected Emmanuel sitting at the right hand of his majesty, making intercessions, bringing to pass things we confess that he's done for us, hallelujah, he says. I know it sounds rough and it sounds like fanaticism, but so many people's afraid of fanaticism, you miss the real thing. Did you always realize that scarecrows are put up around the good apple tree? And there ain't a lot of scarecrows. What a scarecrow is for is to scare you away from the real thing. Move on around them and way on back there. There is a genuine, Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost-filled believers. Signs and wonders and vindication of the supernatural God, a king in the camp. And that's what made the difference between Israel and Moab. That was the difference. And Brother Branham put this like this in this message. And to just kind of as our pastor's been bringing this. To show it's got to be revealed to you. It's got to be something that everybody's following a message. But God revealed, think of Joshua and Caleb. They had something that nobody else had in that camp. God had imparted to them a little germ of faith that was strong enough that when he revealed his word and showed them what he could do and promised, it sunk into their heart that that was exactly what it was going to be. And he put it like this. He says, that was the difference between Cain and Abel. Cain was a good man, and so was Abel. And think about it. It doesn't make all. Think of all of the people throughout the land. We know many good people. We know a lot of people that live good, clean, moral lives and are following a pastor or a teacher to the best of their ability. And as I said, that's become the blinding sight for so many as they can't see past their pastor or their teacher. We were there. We know what it was like. But by God's grace, he opened our eyes to turn our vision not back to a man, but back to his word. And that's what is happening. So many people, they can't look back to the word because their pastor standing in the way saying, this is the way that it's been interpreted. But if they could only but turn their vision back to God and his word and to see what it was there and take him at what he said, the promises would follow forth for them into their life. Yes. If they would only but see that. But he says, Cain was a good man and so was Abel. And Cain was a man that believed God as was Abel. Think about it. They both raised up under Adam and Eve, his parents. A man that believed God, so was Abel. But Abel had a spiritual revelation that knowed it was the blood and not fruits. And he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, which God received. And look here. Here come Moab down just as fundamental as he could be, brother. He had every fundamental doctrine of scriptures taught. And he built his seven altars, his seven sacrifices, his seven bullocks, seven rams, just the same sacrifice as being down there in Israel, seven altars. And he goes through it again, seven rams, figurative of the coming of the Lord Jesus, just as fundamental here as they was down there. Yes. And if God only expects you to be a fundamentalist, then he could not condemn Moab and accept Israel. It would be unjust. Cain was just as fundamental as Abel was. He was a believer, built a church and worshiped, and offered a sacrifice and humbled himself before God. But it came down to the revelation of God's precious word and being revealed to him. And think about it. Saints, we're all standing here, many of us all around the world tonight. People, us sitting here, those that are listening to my voice. It's not going to matter how much I can quote the word. It's not going to matter how much I know that what this Bible says if that Bible is not living in me. And there's only one thing that'll bring this and the words that that prophet brought to a reality in our hearts and lives is a true baptism of the Holy Ghost and a predestinated seed of life laying down in there to grab a hold of that precious word and to bring it to germination. It'll never work. And that's why we must cry out. He said, well, I'm predestinated to it. I'll get to it when I get to it. No. That predestinated seed has got something that's pushing it every day, driving it. Lord, I see there's higher heights. There's greater places for me to stand. Lord, grant me the revelation of what I need to get there. There is no standing still. That little seed don't pop out of the ground and decide I'm just going to only get 6 inches high and I don't want to be no taller. No, it keeps reaching and it keeps reaching until it reproduces exactly what went into the ground. And by God's grace, he's placed the same drive in every one of his elected predestinated seed to reach back to where they came from and to reproduce exactly the seed that was planted. And oh my, may we be one of those that is reaching for that. Amen. Don't be satisfied. Well, and it's so easy to take and, well, I heard Brother So-and-so interpret it like this. There's so many things that people are still just grasping at. Trying to put an understanding to it. Take what God said. If we don't know, lay it on a shelf. God will reveal it in due time. Amen. But oh my, take what we know to be the truth and hold to it with all that's in you. Yes. And let God dip it into our hearts with a greater resolve and a greater measure that we would stand there and not look at what we can see with our eye or listen to what we can hear with our ear, but what God can dip down into here that anchors that you can see with the unseen.
Yes, praise God.
In the message, Redemption by Judgment. This was also preached November 14th, 1954. He was speaking about Joshua and Caleb a moment here. He says, when they came to, this is page 29, or paragraph 29. He says, when they came to the place where they was to cross over, Joshua knew that God had promised to give them that land, and it belonged to them regardless of what the opposition was. And now that's the type of church today. The real true members of the body of Christ, we have lots of people who goes to church, but in that church, practically lots of them, all of them, I guess, I hope, and that certain group of that church is members in that church who will really believe with all their heart. Yes. And I know that to be so. I've caught them on the platform under inspiration and see that they were real genuine. And though they might not understand the full gospel and so forth, but yet they were genuine in their heart, what they believe, they really believe with all their heart. And everything without faith is sin. Unbelief is absolutely sin. Everything that's not of faith is not of God. You must believe. And the only way you can have faith is to first see what God said about it and then believe his word. That's true. That's the only way you can do it. So Joshua and Caleb knew that God had promised. And they come back and they weren't afraid to say, we can take it, because they based their faith not upon what they saw, but what they believed. And who placed the desire to be able to truly believe? Because
yes.
If you truly believe, it will vindicate itself.
Yes, sir.
It'll show forth just like it did in Joshua and Caleb. I think our pastor drove that home this morning. You can truly see it.
Yes.
It's going to happen.
Yes.
And we see all this going on. Is that to say, this is the only church that's saved if you don't come here? No, that's not it. God's going to have elected all over this earth. But that little elected is going to come to a full maturity. They're not going to care what any man has to say about it. They don't care what anyone else has to say about it or who don't want to believe it right. But there's something in their heart that's driving them right back to this precious word and exactly what God laid forth for them. And they're not concerned about what somebody's going to, well, if I believe it like that, somebody's going to think something odd about me. No. There's a driving force in them that's fortified by God's word that is standing there, that I know that's what God said, and I can anchor my soul on that, and it's going to take me through. And oh my, when it gets anchored like that, it ain't, well, this is how and why. I got to explain it over here. But in simple truth, believing exactly what he said, it's not hard. God made it simple enough that even a babe could understand what's written on these pages. But only with a revelation do you truly believe it. You can read it. Anybody can read it and say, oh, that's what happened over there. I see it taking place. But as Moses, as God had it recorded here in the 24th verse, I believe this is also the 13th. This is in the 14th chapter of Numbers. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, hath followed me fully. And him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Amen. Think about what God has done. As we read the scripture, that you have an unction from the Holy One. And oh, when the Comforter is come, he shall teach you all things and guide you into all truths. So many have failed to just thinking that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is only jumping and shouting and screaming. And feeling chills run down their back. And oh, we've got it. I spoke in tongues. Oh, look what happened. But no. Missing the reality that our pastor read to you today out of Future Home. Seeing the reality of it in our own lives. Yes. Bringing this body under subjection to every word. And being able to tie it back into the token to wear full obedience to the whole word of God. Yes. Oh my, can you imagine? Caleb and Joshua, their attitude was, let's go up at once and get it. God's promised it. God will see us through. But oh my, the others had an evil report. We can't do it because of this. We can't do it because of that. Don't let your attitude become clouded by somebody else's interpretation or somebody else's idea of what God was saying. But open up your heart to God and just say, Lord, dip it into my heart. Take away all the creeds of doctrines of men that I've heard and anything that's been passed down to me. And Lord, let me look straight into the word that you've delivered to us. And open up my heart and reveal to me, Lord, exactly what you've got for me. Oh, my, how it is, saints. God gave gifts to the church, predestinated fivefold ministry to take this word after the prophet was gone. Brother Branham was just one of God's men that was being used. But he was the prophet, and he's gone off the scene, but God still has men in order to bring that word to you, to bring you to that fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ until we reach that unity of the faith, not only here, but wherever God has placed them around the earth. But I can tell you one thing, the message will be the same thing, back to every word the way God presented it exactly. And all you watch the word, that's what it has. We've seen man try to force a life. By governments, rules, regulations. I'll make you live like this. Look at the Mennonites. Look at the Amish. They're still trying to do it to a degree. Still trying to bring a holiness by the way they can. Even some of the holiness places, churches are still that way. But you can come in here and dress ever so lightly. But you let the baptism of the Holy Ghost strike someone's heart one time. And watch God set that fire aflame. And you watch. You don't have to have nobody try to force it and pamper it and tell it what's right and wrong. But God will lead it right down the road. Amen. With guidance by the fivefold ministry. They're here for a purpose. They were sent here to be leaders, shepherds over a flock. But you watch God use it in the manner it was set forth. And you watch it bring the results that was needed. But so many have come up, they've reached that spot in their life to where it's, we've been waiting on a rapture a long time. We've been hearing about this a long time. Yeah, it's going to happen one day, but who knows when. Just keep planting my potatoes, as our pastor mentioned. We just keep on like we are. One of these days it's going to happen. But oh, where's that desire to, what more? What can we, is there something I can do for you, Lord? What's to finish this work? What's left for me, Lord? What more can you do? What can I do that you would be greater glorified and expressed in my life? Not for my glory, not for my benefit, but for his glory. That's why I was placed here. Yes, amen. Amen. Let's see here. This is in one in a million preached April 24, 65. And Brother Branham kind of started to say the same thing, but then he threw this paragraph in here. He says, when Israel left Egypt, there was approximately 2 million people left at the same time. And every one of them heard this message of the prophet. Every one of them saw the pillar of fire. Every one of them was baptized to Moses in the Red Sea. Every one of them shouted in the Spirit, beat the tambourines, run up and down the bank. When Moses sang in the Spirit, They everyone drank from the same spiritual rock. They everyone eat fresh manna every night, every one of them. But there was only two made the land, one out of a million. But what was the test? They all drank in the same rock. And they all eat the same spiritual manna as we're eating this morning. But the word test proved them. When it come time to Kadesh Barnea, when they started over into that promised land, they could not go over till they was tested by the word. And all the other 10 came back and said, "We can't make it. We're like grasshoppers to them, and they were a great walled city, and the opposition is too great." But Joshua and Caleb stilled the people, and they said, "We're more than able to do it." Why? God said before they left, "The promised land, I've given you the land, and I give it to you, it's yours." So think about, as we see this word test, as our pastor was mentioning, it's easy to serve God when times aren't very tough. And when you're not having tests and trials, it's pretty easy to say, "I'm a good Christian." It's easy. But think of the test. When the test of the opposition arises, then it proves out where our faith lies. It's showing forth, how much do I understand? How much is Jesus Christ living in me? How much of this word is being made alive and real, and how it's coming forth? How it should stir our hearts. How it should cause us to have a greater challenge burning. As we're hearing this and seeing it, seeing the Holy Spirit move and knowing, we see what's happening in the land. We know it's shaping up. We see it's happening. It's happening just exactly the way the prophet said it would take place. There isn't one thing. You go back, look at the scriptures and look at all the turmoil that's taking place. And you see what's happening. And oh my, no, and being so, we've got so much word laying here. The prophet had laid out this, what would happen and how it would wind up. We don't have to worry about none of that. My only goal is to make sure, just the same as if I was going to take a train ride or an airplane ride, I want to make sure that ticket's laying in my hand and I know it's good. And it's for the date stamp that I'm going to get on that plane or that whatever terminal I'm in. And that's the only way I know. Let this earth crumble. But if I can see my ticket's been stamped in this precious word, and I know it's lining up 100%, and I see the seriousness is in my life, my only goal and objective is to be exactly what Jesus Christ has sent me here to be. And this is first in my life, and is the center of my attention, everything, my speech, everything is Him. What a consolation it gives me. I don't worry if the stock market's going to crash tomorrow. I don't worry if my house is going to fall apart tomorrow. I don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. I live with the grace that God gives me from day to day. And I'll rest in Him knowing that He knows my needs and He will supply whatever I have need of at the time and place I need it. Yes. Think about it. It's so easy to get a little bit on the edge. Well, we still got to plant our potatoes, so I'll put a little bit back over here and I'll do a little bit of, take me right. I'm not, because it's easy to confuse what I'm going to say. I'm not saying we shouldn't be well prepared. Our pastor brought you a message on that to show you. But what I'm talking about is our way of thinking that, oh, I'll keep this cash and I'll put it here. I'll buy this thing and I'll have it over here and I'll have this and it's going to get me through. It's just like, even today, our guns and things, it's so easy to rely. I've got a gun now, I'm safe. But think about David and all that Goliath had. And oh, he wasn't concerned, "I need to get a bigger spear." No. His trust was not in what he could do. His trust was in one thing only, Jesus Christ. And he knew he was defying that precious word. And how that ought to be such a consumption for, as long as I know I'm hidden in these pages, come what may, come what will, I know He will see me through. And oh, it's not for me to worry about. It's not for me to take a thought of oh, I got to do this and I got to do that. No, He said He would supply our every need. Yes, as long as we were marching and doing exactly what He told us to do. Amen. And oh, He's given us quite a few instructions to follow. But may we follow Him. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. This is in the message Perseverant preached July 19th, 1962. Paragraph 68. Like Joshua and Caleb and all the rest of the tribe said, "Oh, we can't take it. We can't take it. Oh, we look like grasshoppers and they're giants." But Joshua was perseverant. For he knowed God said, "I give it to you." So they were looking at what they could see. But Joshua was looking at what God said. And that depends on what you're looking at. The Christian looks at the unseen. The unseen, the whole armor of Christianity is unseen. Everlasting thing. Everlasting thing is unseen. The seen things are material, and the earth is the mother of it all. But the unseen, the whole armor of God, is unseen affair, love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentle, so forth. God, Holy Spirit, all that is unseen. That's the lasting things, the eternal things. That's the whole armor of God. Everything in a Christian can depend on is the unseen, the promise of God. And we look at something that we don't see with our eyes. By the way, to see it with your eyes, you don't see it. See it means to understand it. You look at anything straight and say, I don't see it, you mean you don't understand it. When you understand that something has got an understanding that God has made a promise, and something has struck you that you believe it, that's the understanding that God's promise is to you, and that something's going to happen. Then I don't care. Nobody in the world can talk you out of it. You're on the road then, and nothing's going to stop you. And how it truly is, saints, is the word begins to take a hold in our life. Those things that are unseen can become seen through the manifestation this body projects. But think of all that God has promised us. And it's just so hard. So many people just have that hope. I'm hoping God's going to heal me. I'm hoping God's going to do this. I'm hoping. But there is a people that can truly know. Believe when you pray that you receive it and you shall have it. But oh my, you can't have it if God doesn't push it and place it in our hearts to truly believe and to reveal it to us in that manner, to be able to stand there and that inspiration come. And so many people aren't concerned with even getting that inspiration. It's just, well, the word said I'm healed. That's all I'm going to lean on. No. Or I can have this. No. But where's that desire to go to God in prayer? Lord, I know your word says. And Lord, I know that it's laying there for me. If you would but grant me the revelation and open my eyes to see that thing so great, that Lord, it would bring this body subject to that precious word and fulfill your word in my life. Oh, saints, the boundless promises that are laying before us. But remember, we've set out to run this race. And just as they set out to achieve that land that God had promised them, God's made us a promise. And oh, keep pressing. We're almost there. Yes. And keep hungry and crying out, saying, Lord, open my heart. I look around, there's so many that's lost their desire. So many is just, as I said, they've relaxed. And it's just, oh, where do we go from here? But oh, may God renew that zeal in our hearts so great. So burning hot with a firebrand that it's not a revival for the land, saints, but it's a revival in the heart of the bride that's looking for the returning of the Lord Jesus Christ with a reality. Yes. And oh, may we be found in that number. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. I was wondering if maybe we could try to sing that little chorus to Lord, let me run this race that we sang there. I sang a couple services ago. It's just a real simple chorus. You can catch along as we'll sing it. Lord, let me run in the race. Help me not bring you disgrace, but let me rise on the arms of faith until the day I see your face. Amen. Try it again. Let me run in the race. Help me not bring you disgrace, but let me rise on the wings of faith until the day I see your face. Amen. Is that how you feel? Amen. Amen. Lord, let me run. Yes. Don't let me be a sluggard. Don't let me be slowful. But let me run, Lord, with all that's in me. Yes. That I may have truly obtained that great prize that's set before us. And that my life would truly be an example of what a Christian should truly be. What this word says a Christian would be. Not what somebody else has said about it. But all what we know we can read. What he said that life would be like. Amen. Amen. As may the Lord richly bless you.
Amen. 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 To the Word of God. I love feeding on the Word. It's just my everything. It's my life. It's just nothing more exciting, nothing more I love to do, listen to, but the Word of God. Amen. It's always so refreshing and strengthening and just so glorious. You know, I couldn't help but to think again of some of the things Brother Timothy was saying and reading and so forth. It still just burns in my heart. As I was saying this morning, and I was praying early this morning, Lord, let a desperation strike our hearts. You know, not only a desperation to make sure we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but a desperation to meet the challenge of the hour. You know, I was thinking again about the message the prophet brought, the world is falling apart. Now we can truly say that message is alive. It's being fulfilled. This world is truly falling apart. We thought it was 10 years ago. We thought it was 15 years ago. And it was in a small portion, but now in a very greatly advanced portion, it's fallen apart. There's just nothing left of it. Everything is destroying itself. Everything's coming to an entire mess. Nothing is stable anymore. But only in Christ Jesus is there stability. Is there peace? Is there assurance? Is grace and love and mercy? Only in Jesus Christ. But the world truly is fallen apart. Oh, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I love him. Amen. Let's sing that before we leave. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, a time in which man's life. Lord, here it's been over 2,000 years that you hung on that cross and died for mankind, suffered and paid the ultimate price, that, Lord, you could forgive man of his sins and his iniquities. The Lord, you could enter man and dwell within him with your Spirit. And by your Spirit, Lord, he could live for you. And yet, Lord, through all that, that man has been able to see the times he's entered into now. And yet he sees that he lives by the grace and mercy of God, that he can do nothing in himself. other than live through Jesus Christ. Father, may you dwell within our hearts in a rich way. May we surrender to you, Lord, and truly meet the scriptures and match them, Lord, entirely, that we can even match the scripture, I live, but yet it's not I that liveth. It is Christ that liveth in me. And I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a very reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, may these scriptures be alive in our hearts, Father, every passerby could see that you're living in a people. Bless us, Lord Jesus. We need you. We need you more now than we ever have. And forgive us of our sins and iniquities. Forgive us of our shortcomings, Lord. Very sorry. Please help us. Help us to turn away from our past ways, corruption and evilness, wickedness. Help us, Lord, to turn to the paths of righteousness and be a people that walk by faith and not by sight. Bless us, Lord. We ask that you just go with us now and keep us safe upon the highways and our journeys wherever we may go. And bring us back, Lord, if you should tarry, bring us back again the next appointed time that we may gather around the Word of God. But Lord, knowing that we'll be conformed to the image of your Son for the receiving of your Word. Bless us now. In your holy name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, blessed.